Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hi, and welcome back to TechNet Radio. I'm Charlie Harger. We're really glad you could be with us today, and especially considering we are continuing our discussion of scripting. We're hoping to do something that helps you as a professional and helps you grow and learn and make your job easier. Hopefully, we can do a little bit of that on our show. Today, we are going to speak with Don Jones. He is a noted guru in the world of Windows administrative scripting. He will bring us some tips and tricks you might not otherwise think of. He'll be speaking with Kevin Remdy. And also on the way, Aurora Queen has a look at upcoming events and webcasts you'll want to know about in the IT world. Let's get started first. Kevin Remdy interviews Don Jones here on TechNet Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast on TechNet Radio. My name is Kevin Remdy, and I'm an IT pro evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm pleased today to have with me Don Jones. Here's a little information about Don. Don is a noted guru in the world of Windows administrative scripting. He's authored several books on the topic, including Advanced VBScript for Windows Administrators and the upcoming Windows PowerShell TFM. Don is the Director of Projects and Services for Sapien Technologies, where his primary task is driving the development of products and services that will make Windows scripting easier and more accessible for all Windows administrators. Don founded and continues to moderate scriptinganswers.com. This is the web's community for Windows scripting. Don, welcome very much to TechNet Radio today.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about your own personal history when it comes to script writing. Where did you get your start with it? For what purpose did you get into scripting?
You know, it's probably the same purpose that I think every administrator gets into it for. I was working for a telecommunications company on the East Coast, and like everybody else, we were trying to do as much as possible with as few human beings as possible. And you kind of come to a point where you're doing okay, and you're getting all the daily ads, changes, and deletes taken care of, but then they come down and they want to migrate the mail system, and then you have to find more spare time for yourself. And the only way I could think to do that was to try and automate some of these really, really boring things, which, you know, by the way, meant I didn't have to do the really boring things anymore. And so I started looking at Kickstart, actually. This was probably back in, like, 1992, and VBScript really wasn't a thing then. So I was looking at Kickstart, and one thing led to another, and I just got more and more into scripting as time went on.
Wow, okay. Yeah, my experiences go back to the WinBatch days, I believe it was. I think Sapien actually has that, don't they?
No, we support it. Yeah, we're pretty much a right tool for the right job company. If you've got a scripting language that does something useful, then we want to try and get behind it because, you know, I hate the argument that, oh, well, you should be using JScript or you should be using VBScript. You should be using whatever you can get the job done with as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And you know, we'll talk about a little bit more about Sapien Technologies as well. In fact, why don't I ask you about that right now? How did you end up joining up with Sapien Technologies?
After I published my first scripting book with Addison Wesley, Managing Windows with VBScript and WMI, I decided that I really needed to try and do something to make Windows administrative scripting a little bit more accessible for newcomers. If you go on the public news groups, the scripting news groups, a lot of times you get people who are so experienced that they really don't want to help beginners. And so you see a lot of replies to questions like, oh, you can Google that. And I really hated that. That really rubbed me the wrong way. So I put scriptinganswers.com up, and its primary job was just to provide a friendly place to get answers. I mean, even if I don't know, at least I can say, well, gosh, I don't know, instead of, oh, you can Google that.
Yeah.
You know, we try and give people right answers. And a couple years down the line, I think it was, Sapien came along, and they said, you know, we really want to do more than just publish software. We really want to help people out and provide some training. And A lot like what Microsoft does with TechNet, actually, is, you know, just provide a really large resource and community where people can come get what they want. So we'd like to bring scriptinganswers.com and you into the company. And so in addition to now actually being paid to run scriptinganswers.com, which is my mortgage company loves that, I'm also responsible for making sure that everything Sapien does is really, really going to help people out and promote scripting and make it easier for them.
Wow. Well, that sounds like they found the right guy for the job, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I've been really enjoying it.
And, yeah, you started scriptinganswers.com about how long ago?
I think it's right at the end of 2003.
Okay. Well, it's been a couple of years yet, and now it's part of the Sapien solution set, I imagine.
Yeah.
And you also do a number of other things besides just the scriptinganswers.com site. Well, we can talk a little bit more about the sites in just a second, if you'd like, because I know it's some great resources there.
Yeah.
But I know you personally also contribute periodically to a number of periodicals. Is that right?
I do. Up until recently, I was a contributing editor for Redmond Magazine and mcpmag.com. I did a Mr. Roboto column, which was all about automating Windows tasks. And I did a scripting answers column on mcpmag.com. And I've just recently decided to stop doing those, and I'm going to start writing a very long monthly PowerShell column for Microsoft TechNet magazine.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Yeah, really looking forward to that.
And scriptinganswers.com has a number of other resources, and I imagine a big and important part of that is the community that's built there. Is that right?
It is. The whole point of the forums, and we've got probably, 8,000 or 9,000 active users at this point, although obviously not everyone in one day. The point of the forums is just to give a place where people can ask questions and get an answer. But to sort of, sometimes people can't wait for an answer, or sometimes it's a very common question that we can answer a little bit better in another way. So we've got an essentials page that lists a bunch of little scriptlets that are basically like the top 20 things people always ask about. So they're just right there. There's a script vault which has complete ready-to-run administrative scripts, about 300 or 400 of them, that were written by other users and contributed. There's a podcast where, every 2 or 3 weeks we update people on the latest in scripting news and information and have some fun and talk about tech gadgets and stuff like that. And we just recently put up a new website called searchscripting.com, which was originally going to be part of Scripting Answers, but we decided to make it its own thing. And it is a script-specific search engine. So instead of having to struggle with Google, you can go to an engine that's only crawling sites that have scripting tutorials and samples and references and stuff like that and get really much more specific results out of it.
Oh, very good idea.
Yeah.
You mentioned the podcast. I just happened to be noticing that your link was updated yesterday. You had a podcast just go out on the 17th of September as of date of this recording of this podcast today, and I was looking forward to my beer trivia, but I understand you're not doing beer trivia anymore. You're actually doing a new trivia contest as well as part of your podcast.
Like I said, we like to have some fun on the podcast because scripting isn't always necessarily the most exciting topic to talk about. So what we're doing is we're going to ask a set of five questions, one different question in five upcoming podcasts. The answer to those will in turn form another question, and the answer to that will win whoever gets it several $1,000s worth of prizes, in fact. Books, Sapien software, training videos, pretty much anything I can lay my hands on.
Wow. So five questions that the answers to which become a question,
yeah,
which you have to also then answer in order to be qualified to win. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And the five questions have nothing to do with scripting, but the final question is very definitely scripting related. So it's kind of a cool little loop.
Okay. So check out scriptinganswers.com and listen to the podcast and get those questions. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I want to jump into scripting in particular and talk with you a little bit more about particularly beginners. A number of us, just getting into scripting really don't know where to start. What is the biggest mistake that you see people make when they're first attempting to get into scripting?
I think there might be a couple. I think one of them, especially right now, because we're at this really interesting turning point, is in selecting a technology. I think a lot of folks really struggle with, what scripting technology am I going to use? Is it going to be Kickstarter, WinBatch, or VBScript, or whatever else? And if you're just getting started right now, I think probably the most obvious answer is Windows PowerShell. That's where Microsoft's going in the future. That's where all the good money is going to be spent. And I think it just makes sense that if you're going to, try and learn something, that's the thing to learn first.
Okay.
I think for folks that are already on VBScript or who've already started down that path, I think honestly the biggest mistake people make is that they don't really have a firm task in mind. They sort of decide, well, I want to learn this. And I think it's a lot easier if you can say, I want to do this and come up with some task. I want to be able to create users based on an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it is you need to do, because then you can sort of go along and repurpose other scripts that you find on the internet, and you have a goal to focus your learning. You're not just, learning in abstract. Most administrators don't have time for that anyway, and I think that's why people tend to get frustrated.
Hmm. So with the power of search, with the power of the, you're more now targeted search that you're making available, people should be able to find good resources and find really powerful examples. probably the example that they most need, because again, as you said, it's a very good point that they're best going to start trying to solve some particular problem.
Exactly, and in most cases you can. I mean, a really perfect example is the Microsoft TechNet Script Center, where the scripting guys have done a great job of putting together, I don't know, it's probably close to 1,000 little, 10-line snippets of VBScript that do all kinds of stuff. The biggest problem you have is in actually finding it. Now, it's very well categorized, but that's one of the sites that we're crawling on searchscripting.com, too. So instead of going to the general Microsoft search where typing VBScript will turn up all kinds of stuff, you can go to Search Scripting, type in something specific about what you're trying to do, and you'll probably wind up with a sample script.
Great, great. Now, I think I know the answer to this next question because we've already mentioned it, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What gets you the most excited these days? Is there something on the horizon, either new or rumored, that's going to change the way we work with scripts?
It's definitely Windows PowerShell.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that for the longest time, the biggest thing that hurt Windows administration were the Windows themselves. In other words, in order to do anything, you had to click a button. And technologies like Component Object Model COM and VBScript really gave us some automation, but it was a two-layered thing. The development teams at Microsoft, when they're creating a product, have to create a graphical user interface. And sometimes they would also create a means of automating administration, but not always. And you still had to turn back to the GUI for a lot of stuff. Well, with PowerShell, what's important about that is not so much the technology, is the philosophy and the decision Microsoft made. Now, new Microsoft products are going to have their administrative functionality built in PowerShell first. So everything you'll be able to do in PowerShell, and then the GUI will be built on top of that. So it's possible that there's things which you can't do in the GUI, which you will be able to do from the command line or in a script. And Exchange Server 2007 will be the first product with that philosophy. And the next version of System Center will also have that. And as new products start to come out, they're going to be built in that fashion. So it's really the first time that Microsoft stood up and said, yes, scripting and automation is important, and it's important enough that we're going to do everything this way in the future to make sure that it's totally accessible. And I think it's great.
Yeah, that's that is how people are going to be finding their first experience with that, is Exchange administrators in particular. And we've all been hearing about Monad for some time now, and Monad now being called PowerShell officially. And the fact that Exchange Server, and in particular the administration and everything you do with an Exchange Server, is done through the PowerShell. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I got a demo of it from the Exchange team not too long ago, and it's really amazing. I mean, if you take even a task like moving a person's mailbox from one server to another, in the GUI, that's, maybe a 2 or 3 minute task. You have to go into it and click a few things and click a few more things. When you drop down to the command line, you just type move-mailbox, the name of the mailbox you want to move and the name of the place you want to move it to, and you hit enter and it's gone.
Yeah, some really big power with these single line commands or commandlets being piped to one another is really going to be a powerful thing for
administration.
That's certainly one of the things that makes PowerShell so compelling over some other scripting technologies. Do you have some others that that you would really consider PowerShell over some of the other technologies out there?
Oh, something I'd consider PowerShell over. Well, there's so much. I mean, part of what I like about PowerShell is the fact that it is based on the C# language. And I know that Microsoft is probably going to get yelled at a lot because, I mean, crying out loud, this is probably the fourth or fifth scripting language they've inflicted on the world. But this one at least has an upgrade path, right? I mean, if you're learning PowerShell's syntax, that's going to carry you into actual C# programming. So if you get to a point where PowerShell is not going to do what you need, then you've got a path to move up into the full Visual Studio product. And that's not something we really ever had with VBScript. VBScript was always a totally separate product, and although it was syntactically a lot like other variants of Visual Basic, you really couldn't carry your skills with you a whole lot. You had to learn a whole lot more to be able to go up to the full, say, VB. And so, I mean, that sort of tie-in is really, really smart. And I think the fact that it's all built on .NET, and that's clearly where Microsoft is going. There's so much in VBScript now that I can't really do because the things aren't exposed to the operating system. And if VBScript were built in .NET, I would be able to do them because .NET exposes so much more of the operating system. So, I mean, it's PowerShell is really just kind of it's here at the right time, and it's on the right technology, and it's tying together a lot of threads that have sort of been floating out there, and it's making it accessible to an administrator, which it really never has been.
Now, what about security in PowerShell? an early fear, and this is something, you know, way back when it was first introduced to the world and called Monad, was that this was going to be a big security hole. In fact, I even remember there was several tech news organizations out there that were announcing that it was a reportable security hole, even though the product wasn't even yet released.
I love that.
Do we need to be concerned about this in PowerShell from a security standpoint?
No, honestly, if we can take VBScript as a good example of what all those media companies were reporting, I think the PowerShell team sat down and looked at every way in which VBScript has ever been exploited or used to create an exploit and made sure that PowerShell can't be used that way unless you take really significant steps to allow it. It completely supports code signing, so you can just say, hey, if a script isn't signed by me, then it doesn't run, ever, period. Mm. And that pretty much takes care of it. In fact, by default, PowerShell won't even run scripts. It can only be used as an interactive shell. You have to specifically turn on the ability to run scripts.
So that's a matter of the extension that's used for the script itself. It'll just basically open up Notepad.
Exactly. PowerShell itself does not register that file name extension. It's hooked up to Notepad. Even if you go into PowerShell and try and run a script, it won't do it by default. And, I think it can certainly be used as a security exploit, but an administrator is going to have to enable it first. And, you know, that's just a matter of administrators needing to take more responsibility for their own environments. If you went out to a Unix administrator at any time in the past 20 years and said, hey, do you know your script can be used as a security thing against you? And he'd laugh and say, of course, but that's why my environment's properly configured, because they've been doing the scripting stuff since the beginning of time.
Any other myths that you know of that you'd like to help us dispel about PowerShell?
You know, I think the biggest one is just fear. You know, it's something new and it's something different, and a lot of administrators are going to take the same attitude they did with VBScript, which is, well, you know, I'm fine with the GUI and I'm not going to need to learn this. And I think with VBScript that was certainly true, but we're getting to an interesting point in time where enterprise managers are really starting to want more bang for their buck. And they don't want to pay an administrator $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year and not have that person be incredibly efficient. So what's going to happen, not too much longer, I'd say 2 or 3 years, is more and more managers are going to become savvy to things like PowerShell, and they're going to start asking for it on their resumes. In fact, I did some training for a pharmaceutical company, and in order to be a senior network engineer with that company, you have to have scripting skills. Mm. And so the administrator who doesn't want to learn scripting or PowerShell or something else, we'll still have a job, but it's going to be an entry-level job. And the real bucks are going to go to the people who can be more efficient by automating through scripts.
And I think the encouraging thing to those of the administrators out there who are now concerned is like, well, wait a minute, I've never been a developer. I don't know how to think this way in terms of scripting things, and it's just going to be a bunch of development magic. They're afraid of it. They don't really have to be afraid of it, because this is really, at the core, a very, very simple and eventually intuitive interface to use.
Yeah, it is. And if you went and told an actual software developer that, oh, you know, I don't want to learn scripting because it's software development, they would laugh at you, because it's really not. It's like changing the oil isn't really being a car mechanic, and that's really the level we're at. It's really, really simplified. And I don't want to say dumbed down, because you can do an awful lot with it, but you can do an awful lot without actually having to learn very much. I think the biggest problem and the biggest downside that scripting has traditionally received is that most of the books and training materials for scripting were written by developers.
Yep.
And so you can see how those would obviously go wrong, because at some point they just branch off in a direction administrators don't care about. And I think the reason that my scripting books have managed to do well is because I say, look, here's what we need to accomplish, here's how you do it, here's basically how that works, and now let's move on. And it's what you need, and obviously there's more places you can go if you're, you know, personally interested, but I just want to get the administrator to get their job done and then move on, because that's really all most of us want. We're a pretty pragmatic group of people.
And they're not necessarily, I mean, certainly may never need to consider creating their own commandlets or anything like that on top of PowerShell. They're using what's already available.
Absolutely, and there's always going to be some, you know, bright individuals out there who are creating useful new commandlets, and then the rest of us will use those, and we'll be happy with that.
Great. So what's keeping you busy these days? What are you working on? Well, for example, later today, what are you going to be doing today?
I am actually preparing for a class. We're going to be running a class in Chicago and Seattle next week called ScriptingAnswers.com Live. That's a little bit of PowerShell training, in fact, a day of PowerShell and a day of advanced VBScript. So I'm getting ready for those things. And it looks like I'm going to be doing a second edition on that Addison Wesley book, Managing Windows with VBScript and WMI. So I have to start putting the outline for that together. And I've only been on the forums on scriptinganswers.com once so far today. So I will definitely be there a couple more times today, seeing if there's any new questions that need to be answered or anything like that. And, that winds up pretty much taking up the whole day. Apart from that, I usually will work on scripts or put together some new training materials, maybe work on a training video, something like that. I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, going to be doing a new PowerShell-based series of webcasts for Microsoft TechNet next year.
Yeah.
We'll kind of work on that a little bit.
You've done a number of those already, and I know there's a number of webcasts that are currently available on demand that you've done.
In fact, if you go to scriptinganswers.com, there's a link for free webcasts, and it takes you to a Microsoft webpage, and there's about 18 months' worth of VBScript webcasts that you can download and save on your computer and watch whenever you want to, and they cover a whole range of topics, and it's great. It was a lot of fun doing those webcasts, and the fact that Microsoft just hosts them forever and ever and makes them available for free download is incredible, and it always shocks me how few people actually realize those things are out there.
And now we can look forward to a number of them now on PowerShell from you. So
hopefully.
That'll be terrific. And that that kind of brings me to my next question for you, are there any other additional great resources out there? I mean, certainly scriptinganswers.com is a great first stop for scripting information. But do you have any other recommendations?
If you're following Windows PowerShell, you can go to blogs.msdn.com/PowerShell, and that's the PowerShell team blog. And Jeffrey Snover, who's the product architect, is usually the one posting up there, and it's just great information about how the product is going and how to do stuff that you may have wondered about. And it's really a lot of fun to read on a regular basis. Aside from that, I think if you hop on scriptinganswers.com and scroll to the bottom of the menu, there's a list of other properties that Sapien has been putting up, most of which are just free resources, scriptingtraining.com. We have a new script debugger that we're putting out to help people, get through script debugging issues. Sapien Press, which is the publishing division that's putting out Windows PowerShell TFM, which is the new book that I'm almost finished writing on PowerShell, and is also putting out some books on ADSI scripting and VBScript and WMI scripting and VBScript and all kinds of other stuff. So, we're sort of assembling a large property of our large collection, I should say, of properties that are designed to just produce resources for people. In many cases, they won't have to pay anything, or maybe it's a little bit, just to keep the site going. We're just trying to make scripting as accessible as any other topic in the IT industry.
Fantastic. And these are resources whether you're a beginning scripter or whether you're a more seasoned script wizard.
Yeah, and we've really tried to focus a little bit more on the intermediate to advanced scripter lately, because there's getting to be a good amount of resources out there for beginners, but a lot of people want to go further, and that's actually what led to the creation of that Microsoft Press book you mentioned, Advanced VBScript, and that's been very well received. And if you go on Amazon.com and read some of the comments there, most people are saying, yeah, it really is an advanced book, unlike most books which say they're advanced but aren't really. So we're really trying to bring people and let them go as far as they want to go with this.
Fantastic. Well, Don, we're out of time here, but I want to thank you very much for being with us today. Don, again, is the webmaster and owner and starter of scriptinganswers.com, working currently for Sapien Technologies. It was very great to have you here with us today.
Ah, good to be here. Thanks.
Don Jones and Kevin Remte here on TechNet Radio. A lot of information there. And the great thing about having a podcast like we do here, you don't have to write stuff down. You can just hit rewind, and hopefully if you didn't catch something the first time around, you can do it then. Right now, we're going to talk with Aurora Queen. She has some ideas for us. What's coming up in the world of webcasts and other tech world events? Here's Aurora on TechNet Radio.
Welcome to the TechNet Radio events calendar for Tuesday, September 19th. I'm Aurora Queen. This is so cool. I love this. September 22nd is One Web Day. And the mission of One Web Day is to create, maintain, advance, and promote a global day to celebrate online life. One Web Day is one day a year when everyone around the physical globe, can celebrate the web and what it means to us as individuals, organizations, and communities. So if you are interested in that, visit onewebday.org to see how you can participate. If you actually want to check out a couple conferences with Don Jones, he has two coming up, one being held September 25th and 26th in Chicago, and then one on the 28th and 29th in Seattle. And those are Advanced Windows Administrative Scripting. If you want more info on that, just visit scriptingtraining.com. Of course, there are also scripting webcasts with Don Jones. The URL for that is microsoft.com, WAC events, WAC series, WAC Don Jones scripting.mspx. These webcasts will help you quickly master key scripting skills to become more proficient administrators, in large part by sharing hard-won scripting experience and by leveraging samples that are useful administrative scripts. So I put all the URLs up on our website, microsoft.com WACTNradio, so you can access them from there if you like. And that's it for this week. If you have any events that you think I should know about or that you want me to list in this events calendar, just drop me an email at tnradio@microsoft.com. For TechNet Radio, I'm Aurora Queen.
Aurora Queen, TechNet Radio. Well, that's about it for our show today. Coming up next week, we continue our discussions on scripting, so we hope you can tune in for that. And be sure to set your RSS feeds if you haven't already. Set it to TechNet Radio's RSS feed. We have a link for you on our website. We would love to have you check us out next week, so we're inviting you back. For everybody here at TechNet Radio, drop us a line, tnradio@microsoft.com. I'm Charlie Harger. We'll see you next week.